B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It's the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show on radio and TV. It's the 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corporate Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays every bit as good. Our next guest, of course, a great baseball analyst on NBC Sports Philly pregame and postgame, and just tweeted out some fascinating statistics. We bring on the Comcast Business Hotline, Corey Simon. Corey, how you doing today?
I'm a little bit better than the Phillies team that went on a West Coast trip and played lifeless baseball for about a week straight, huh?
Corey, there's an amazing stat you just tweeted out that this pace that they're playing lately, since the final days of May, 69-win pace.
Yeah, and that represents 40% of the schedule. We're not talking about a small sample size. That's 63 games. That's 39% of the schedule, and really it encompasses the entire time since Andrew McCutchen went down. So when the Phillies stand up there after games and talk about their true talent level and how they feel like they can still go on a run, I mean, we're definitely at the point of the season now where you are what you are. And if you look at the underlying numbers and you look at the way the Phillies have competed against some of the better teams in baseball the last 2 months, this is not a contending team. This is, you know, a team that might win 83, 84 games at best unless they miraculously go on some sort of offensive run that they have not since the first week of the season.
All right. Well, what is the, and your, first of all, you, here's where the Phillies rank since the All-Star break. You tweeted this out. 26th in run score, 27th in batting average, 26th in slugging percentage, 25th in OPS, and 26th in extra base hits. That is mind-boggling. You know, for the offensive lineup that they supposedly put together, can you go into the manager's office to, and connect the dots with that, or is it just bad players?
I think it's a bad roster construction. You know, the Phillies are a very top heavy roster with the guys like Harper, Hoskins, Real Muto, et cetera, and then the middle to back half of the roster really went largely ignored this past offseason, and that's what we're seeing. Offensively, what stuck out to me lately is, you know, the Phillies are a team that walks a ton, okay? We know that Harper and Hoskins are going to take their walks, but this team does not hit for a high batting average, and they don't hit for enough power. So, and they also have not hit with runners in scoring position for the last 2.5 months. So when you add those three things together, what you get is games like last night where the Phillies walked 8-9 times and just left plenty of guys on base. But you can't fuel an offense just by, you know, taking your four pitches, taking your free pass, and going to first base. You need hitters behind those guys who can drive runners in when they're in scoring position, and you need the occasional 2-3-run home run that the Phillies just have not gotten enough this season. You know, you have guys like Harper and Hoskins with home run totals in the low 20s in a year where there's already, like, 35 guys nearing 30.
It's head-shaking, but this is the second straight year of a downfall like this. So what does the front office think about this, do you think? What inventory are they taking of this? The fans are already taking inventory. That things need to be shaken up and they need to be changed. What do you think the front office is thinking?
Well, in terms of players, I think that the front office obviously has to realize at this point that their pitching evaluations this past offseason were, you know, woefully misguided. And I can't imagine the Phillies are going to go into this offseason doing anything less than acquiring 2 or 3 starting pitchers they think can help the rotation next year. You know, we saw a season where the Phillies really from day one have struggled to keep the ball in the park. They've made way too many bad pitches on 0-2 or 1-2 counts. So obviously the pitching staff needs to be addressed in a major way this offseason. And, you know, I'm starting to wonder as the losses pile up here, if a member or members of the coaching staff are going to be scapegoated or axed because of this. You know, you could make a case that the pitching staff has really regressed in major ways. You can make a case that the hitting coach has not helped a lot of these hitters out of slumps, or, you know, it hasn't, you know, resulted in a net benefit in any way. So people are starting to question the hot seat that Gabe Kapler's under, the hot seat that the hitting and pitching coach are under. And, you know, if these final 6 weeks play out anything close to the way the final 6 weeks played out last season when the Phillies lost a ton and were getting blown out with regularity, I would have to imagine that some heads are going to roll.
Well, all right, do you believe that Kapler will survive? You mentioned pitching coaches, hitting coaches. Do you believe that the main guy will survive?
If the Phillies finish with a losing record, you know, I think that there would seem to be a better than 50% chance that they would make a change there. You know, or if they finish 80-82 again. But I think a lot of it just depends on the style of play over the final 6 weeks. If they're competitive, if they can go on a little bit better of a run than they've gone on, I think the Phillies would probably maintain status quo and try to go into next season with the same manager and talk themselves into, we had a bunch of players that did not perform up to their talent level, and let's see how it plays out next year. And then if things kind of go the same way in the first half next year, then it's a consideration. But Kapler's also going to be entering the final year of his contract next season. So a lot of times teams try to get proactive with these situations to avoid having a lame duck manager. You either extend them a year ahead of time or you make the decision early. So it really is just dependent on how these, the final month and a half plays out. I still think it's a little too early to tell. The Phillies are obviously coming off of a horrible road trip. And, I would have thought earlier in the season, for example, the Mets were going to fire Mickey Callaway after they were playing their worst stretch of baseball, and that didn't happen. So sometimes teams really just try to avoid making this decision in season.
All right. So you mentioned something. The last thing I want to talk about is the pitching staff that has to be rebuilt. They need so much that, to me, it's not even realistic to think they can rebuild the pitching staff. They don't have anything to trade for good pitching, and there's so many free agents they can buy. So what could possibly be an outlook that would make fans optimistic next year along those lines?
Well, there are some really good starting pitchers who are going to be available. Like, I don't expect the Phillies to go out and sign Garrett Cole for the $200 million or the amount close to it that it's going to take. Because if you go out and sign that contract, it really limits the number of times you can make a huge splash, throughout the next 5-6 seasons. But there are some other decent mid-tier options. Cole Hamels is going to be out there again. Madison Bumgarner is going to be out there again. Both of those guys would immediately slot in as the Phillies' number two. And there's like the mid-rotation pieces, guys like Kyle Gibson of the Twins, Alex Wood of the Reds. I also do think that the Phillies are going to make some sort of trade for a pitcher this offseason. You mentioned that there's not a ton to trade, and I agree with that. The Phillies are not going to get a starting pitcher who's a difference maker with years of team control unless they're willing to part with a Spencer Howard or a guy like Adonis Medina, someone like that. And I don't think they're going to part with Spencer Howard, but they could get a lesser pitcher than a Matt Boyd. The guys like Matt Boyd, Mike Minor, who were mentioned at the trade deadline.
I'm so tired of the lesser pitchers. I can't do it anymore, Corey. I can't win with the lesser pitchers anymore.
I hear you. And the other option there would be trading one of your top prospects to get one of these starting pitchers who could help you over the next 2 or 3 seasons. And the only reason I give that a little bit of credence or a little bit of a chance of happening is because the Phillies created a 3 or 4 year window here. I know that Bryce Harper's under contract for 13 years, but you have Andrew McCutchen for 3, you have Segura for 3 more, you have Real Muto going into his last year of team control. So they didn't build this roster to wait 5 years again to contend. They built it to contend immediately or as soon as 2020. So, we could see them sell off some pieces. I just don't think it would be wise at this point, given how few difference makers the Phillies have in the farm system right now that are able to perhaps contribute next year or the year after. I just don't think it would be logical to trade their top prospects.
All right. You got it. Corey, always a pleasure. I'm saying this because I really don't see a lot of optimism for next year with this pitching staff. So I think now's the time for a clean break with the manager. Now's the perfect time. Yeah. You can't possibly extend him within this fan base right now.
Yeah, I see the way that people react to him every day in comment sections on Twitter and social media. People really think that, like, every game that they lose is Kapler's fault. And some of them are. Sometimes he brings in the wrong reliever to the wrong situation or gives up on a game too easily. Another thing that really stuck out to me over the weekend was, the Phillies put 2 guys on base in the 9th inning against Will Smith in San Francisco, and they can't cash in an opportunity where they finally might be able to come back. This team only has 1 win when trailing after 7 innings all season. That tells you that they're not fighting as hard as, Gabe Kapler likes to say after games.
Yeah. All right, Corey. We'll talk to you. Thank you.
Hey, Mike.
Here is Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia. the pitching staff next year, just think about it. You have Nola. You presume Arrieta will be competent after he has the surgery. I don't know if I can count on that. And then you need 3 starters. And if you're gonna fill it up with the Smileys and the other dude, Vargas's of the world, then what do you really have? It's the same thing. You're going through the same thing next year. All right, let's get back to the phones.
Oh, real fast, what? Mike, the people were wondering about the Christmas Day game with the Sixers. Mm-hmm. The schedule's out. They will be playing the 2:30 game. So I guess
the schedule is out.
The schedule's out. Okay. We'll get it all printed out to you. We can't do wins and losses for 82 games.
Yes.
But the Christmas Day game will be on the 2:30, so it'll be the second game. So I guess people can eat and then go to dinner, or people that, since it's a home game, mm-hmm. can go to the game and then have Christmas dinner after that. Open the gifts before 2:30 on Christmas.
All right. Gotcha. Let's go back to the phones with Bob and Cherry Hill. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Bob?
Well, this Kapler situation, I mean, I know you at the beginning of the show read off the 52% versus 48%, but I think that really captures the whole problem with Kapler. Pilar was burning up the Phillies the whole series. I mean, he was on fire. The other guy, Crawford, was not hitting. So, I mean, it was justified to walk Pilar. I mean, I don't think that's hindsight, but to me, I was
It's total hindsight. It's total hindsight because you know what Pilar did.
If
Pivetta gets him out, then you're not saying the same thing. So it is total hindsight. Now, the only thing I can tell you, see, there are other factors at work here, all right? Alvarez has been really good lately, but Crawford hits lefties better than he hits righties. Pilar hits lefties better than right. It doesn't hit righties that well.
Yeah, but you're talking about a 4% difference between what you read out at the beginning of the program. I don't think that's definitive. I mean, if you're
7 points on the batting average. Pilar against righties, 245. Crawford against lefties, 252.
Okay, well, I'll disagree with you. And as far as, you keep bringing up Rodriguez. I mean, one of the main reasons Rodriguez is there is because Kapler played with Rodriguez. They were teammates. And that's why this guy has a...
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
And the other thing I want to bring up...
But forget the team. If the front office is keeping him on for that reason, then the front office is incompetent. You can't play favorites because a guy, it tells me the front office is okay with having Sean Rodriguez because they didn't make a move at the trading deadline to get another right-handed bat. They got another lefty.
Yeah, you're right. You're right there. I cannot dispute what you're saying. And I mean, the other thing is Hoskins is killing him. And I had spoke to you weeks ago about the possibility of moving Hoskins. I mean, Hoskins, I don't know how many more years he's got under their control, but he's represented by Boris, who will want an outrageous amount of money for Hoskins. And Hoskins, to me, is not an upper-tier player in this league. He's a little bit above average. And, I think that he could get you something in a trade.
You'll trade Hoskins right now? At this point, I don't know. It's hard to trade guys that will hit 30-plus home runs. It is. It just is. Now, he's not zoned in right now, but I don't know if it's a solution to trade Hoskins to, improve pitching? And where's your power? Then you got one bona fide power hitter in the lineup while everybody else is crashing home runs left and right in this league. Let's go to Steve in South Jersey. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Steve?
Yeah, well, our boy, the expert, pretty much put it in perspective. I mean, when you leave 9-10 guys on base and you get the walks, and the same story, you don't bring them in when you're supposed to bring them in. The guys are supposed to be hitting. Harper, he does do good with guys and, on base, but it goes along with the fact that he's still sitting, with 20 home runs and
22.
He can't win like that. And the bottom line,
he had 2-1 game this series, 22.
and that was a miracle to me. But the bottom line is.
He had 4 last week, so.
Well, he's warming up a little bit, but nobody else seems to be. But the bottom line, Mike, the Mets, the Nationals, they were at one time, they both have just now caught us or passed us. And it's because of the main thing, in my opinion, pitching. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't win like this with these guys that they're bringing in from AAA and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I'm just frustrated.
I hear your frustration. They made the front office made a terrible misjudgment about what they had in their starting rotation at the start of the year. And they conned themselves into thinking because they selected these guys that they had some special insight that these guys are going to be good. And I look at the track record of guys and I go, when are they going to be good? Either you have it or you don't.
Yeah, and Mike, by the way, love Bar Rescue. You're right on, man. Favorite one of my chairs.
All right, man.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole... Somebody did a story on all these shows that are phony setups. And like most of those house shows are phony setups.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bar Rescue can't possibly be not set up.
Oh, no, there's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They follow a script with this guy.
You would think so.
Yes.
And then I love the girl who comes in to help bartend, to teach the bartenders, and you find out that she came in second place at the TGI Fridays bartender competition. I'm like,
yes.
What? This is where you found this girl?
Right.
TGI Fridays bartender? I never go
I love the rehabs they do in the bar because they do it quickly,
it
right?
Looks
that's
yeah,
a
it looks good
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, where are they picking these bars? Out of thin air?
No, you submit.
Nobody's submitting like, because the owners are bucking the guy. They set up the narrative. The owners clash with him. So supposedly the owner that called him to fix the bar is now resistant to the guy. So that's all set up.
Well, yeah, but then, so that's how you get on the show. You call.
You
have to submit to get on the show.
Bull. They have researchers that will pick out certain bars and set the whole thing up.
There was one.
The guy in Austin with the roaches. He supposedly called John Taffer. As soon as Taffer got there, the guy's saying, "Oh, I don't want you to do this." So they set up the narrative.
Right, come on, but man, you funny. You do. Yes, but I'm telling you, you do submit your bar for consideration, and then the network picks. Taffer doesn't pick.
Well, if you set your bar up for consideration, then you wouldn't buck Taffer's suggestions.
They tell you to. You do. If you want your bar fixed, you got to fight with them. There was one
bar that was on the show from, I think it's in Glenside. And it ended up still failing after the rescue and then was closed.
Really?
Yeah.
That happens more often than not.
Right.
The place still fails.
Right.
I think these producers are going, like, spanning the globe for bars that they could set up all this stuff with. All right, let's go to Dan in Westgrove. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
What's going on, Mike?
Hey, you, Dan.
I'm all right, man. If it were up to me, I'd cut my losses and say this guy Gabe Kapler just didn't work out. But I think if you're the Phillies, you can't fire them and not have it reflect badly on your philosophy as an organization to be analytically driven and have that affect the way your lineup is set.
You can find another guy that has the same philosophy, but the change is what's important.
That builds a better culture and gets a locker room to pull
together.
Yeah,
because this culture has failed. This culture has failed. So they can justify themselves. Okay, we're not changing our philosophy. This just wasn't the right fit.
I hear what you're saying. This was Klentak's guy. He gave McCannon an extension, then he fired him. He brings in Gabe Kapler to say, this is the guy that's going to pull everything in the right direction. And what's frustrating to me as a fan is I feel like from the top on down, they're not pulling in one direction. You know, one minute we're contending. The next, we can't do anything before the deadline. We can't go out and get Dallas Keuchel for $13 million because the stupid money ran out, and we're not going to contend anymore. We're going to get Drew Smyly and Jason Vargas in here. That'll, plug the rotation, and now we're building for next year.
I don't think the money ran out. I don't think that's the reason they didn't get Keuchel. I think they made a value judgment to think that he wasn't good enough for that kind of money. They had the money to buy. They just made a value judgment.
But what was it, $13 million? It comes off the books in 1 year. They don't have to commit to them long term if they're all in from here on out.
They have plenty of money. They made a decision that he wasn't better than what they had, which is misguided.
Right, and nothing left in the process.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing that Klentak, he could believe in Kapler, best laid plans, right? Sometimes he's got to take inventory, A, of his team, and B, of his fan base. There's nobody in the fan base that trusts this manager anymore. He's got to take that in consideration. But more importantly, he's got to take inventory of his team. His team doesn't play for this guy. And they can't be stupid. They're watching the same thing we're watching. So I get it. Ronnie in Mount Laurel. Ronnie, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ronnie.
Listen, I just relocated from Houston. I'm born and raised up here, and I've been watching and listening to everything you're talking about. This organization needs to a clean house from all the way up top. The farm system, the farm system is a total joke. How many? Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Am I still here?
Yes.
The farm system, how many homegrown decent players are on that team? You can count them on half a hand, from Nola to maybe Reese Hoskins to Kingery. Other than that, you go into a season with a pitching staff that's a total joke. Your starting pitcher, Arrieta, was a loser with the Cubs. They bring him in and pay him $20 million. They pay the King $300 million. Their farm system is ridiculous. Who are they going to trade? There's no homegrown players to trade. They go out and get players, and that's it. They have nothing else. I have never seen incompetence. I was in Houston when Houston lost 110 games, and I saw them rebuild. They were worse than the Phillies, but they had a brain. They went out and got the right players, and in 5 years, they have been contenders.
Yes, yes, I'm here, bro.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I get it. Houston had the benefit of getting a lot of high draft picks, which they cashed in on to build their farm system, to make other trades, to bring in better guys. They did. The Phillies have failed as far as building their farm system to develop guys that they could trade.
What does that tell you, Mike?
Well,
that tells you you got some bad scouts out there who are making
decisions. It tells you you got a bad front office. The front office is in charge of their scouts. The front office has the final say on what players are going to bring in here, what players are going to draft. But the front office has just got an extension. Okay, so rather than swim against that tide, I've got to judge the Phillies on what can be done with McPhail and Klentak in tow, because that's not going to change. What can change is the guy that makes up the lineup. And where that's beneficial is that you get a voice that hopefully will make your clubhouse feel like playing better baseball. 610-632-0975. On the other side, going to review Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's time to update our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, and brought to us by Natalie Eganoff. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,100 votes on this one so far. Will the city ever trust Gabe Kapler again? 9% say yes, 91% say no.
91. It's up to 91. Oh, my. The Sixers schedule has just been released, folks. Let's go over all 82 games, Tyrone, wins and losses.
Here we go. I'm ready.
We start with a Wednesday night game on ESPN. Celtics coming to town. How about that? Al Horford's old squad right out of the chute. Then a mini road trip at Detroit, Atlanta, the T-Wolves the following Wednesday, and then they go on a West Coast trip already at Portland, at Phoenix, at Utah, at Denver. Let's just go over the top first 10 games.
All right.
Boston at home opening night.
W.
At Detroit.
W.
At Atlanta.
W.
Minnesota at home.
W.
At Portland.
Loss.
First loss, huh?
Yep.
At Phoenix.
W.
At Utah.
Loss.
At Denver.
Loss.
I got that as a win because they've already lost two on a road trip. Are you going Denver? Two losses in a row, Utah and Denver?
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte at home.
Win.
Cleveland at home.
Stone win.
I think that's 10.
Yeah, so I got them 7-3 to start.
I've got them 8-2.
That makes sense. They're going to have a they're a good team, and this mm-hmm. is yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll still split that road trip.
That's possible.
2-2
And no back-to-backs. In there. That's another thing. They put in less back-to-backs. The Sixers only have 10 all season, so less back-to-backs, and they made the most of the night games earlier. So a lot of the 8s are now 7:30s or 7s, and a lot of the 10:30s, a lot of the 10:30s are now 10. They made that adjustment on purpose to try to make the games a little bit more friendly for kids.
All right, how many of the 82 are on national TV?
24.
That's correct. You counted those already, huh?
Yeah.
24 games on ESPN, TNT, ABC. Boom.
And they have
Sixers are a draw.
And they have the most on ABC. So on network TV, the Sixers have the most games. And they're the first, that opening night, mm-hmm. they're the open, that 23rd, they're the opener. The next game is Clippers-Lakers. So they have Sixers-Celtics, Clippers-Lakers, oh, yeah. back-to-back.
Let me just see there. What date is the Clippers-Lakers?
23rd.
23rd?
Yeah.
Okay.
The season itself opens the 22nd. Day all before.
Right. Okay.
It's a monster schedule.
Yeah. All right. So I went to see the movie last week. Friday, I guess. And it's the latest Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I went with an open mind because it seems like 50% of the people liked it, 50% of the people hated it. I found myself right in the middle. I didn't find many gray area people, but I'm a gray area person when it comes to this movie. It is a movie of nothingness, really. You might be charmed by, like, if you're an older guy, you might be charmed by the old TV references that he pays tribute to that are on in the background, like the big shows of the time. In 69, I guess it's focused on 1969. So, like, Mannix was a hit show for like 10 years. It started about that time. I still remember the theme song.
It was my dad's show. He loved
Mannix.
And
right.
We used to have to watch it.
And then FBI came on Sundays, starring Efren Zimbalist Jr. So he goes into all that. It's in that era. And
Brad Pitt.
Now, Brad Pitt is the coolest character in the whole movie. DiCaprio's character is an old actor who starred in like a Western TV show. But here's the thing. You might be charmed by the TV thing. You might be admire Brad Pitt's performance. But at the end of the day, it's a very mediocre movie.
Really?
Very, very mediocre.
Man, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I'm a Tarantino fan, but it's not one of his best.
Did he just, overdid it, right? That's what they said.
You know, it seems to me that he just sat down and wrote, like he had no idea where he's going.
Right. That's, yeah.
So it's long. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, first of all.
Oh, my goodness.
And the reason why it's 2 hours and 40 minutes is because the studio, he would only agree to have it distributed by a major studio. I don't know who distributed it. Sony, maybe. And he would have final edit. So that's why it's that long.
Well, you know why he did that? Because he's still mad about Kill Bill.
Because they made him go two movies.
Yeah, Kill Bill was all supposed to be one four-hour movie.
Yes. And
so he's still mad about that.
Yeah, but Brad Pitt is cooler than cool in it.
He's great.
And that's what, and you know what's really funny? I started to ask all these stars that are in his movies, what do they do? Take peanuts? Like, he's got Bruce Dern in there for like 30 seconds. And he's got all these other stars that have all these small parts. And I think it's just because they want to be in a Tarantino movie. I don't know. They can't be paid much.
Yeah.
That's exactly why.
It's like Woody Allen had that going for a long time when he was making all the New York movies. People just wanted to be in a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah.
Now, the modern day, it's Tarantino. That and the foot thing.
The foot thing?
What foot thing?
If you watch all his movies, one thing that he does is he has these foot scenes in every movie.
Oh, yeah.
What?
There's a foot scene in every Tarantino movie. It's part of his deal. He has a foot thing. And that's part. The two things is the cameos for it, which you're always going to get. And the foot scene. That's the consistent thing in every Tarantino.
Samuel Jackson is the foot bleeping master.
Right.
Yeah, he does have the foot thing.
That's what he does, yeah. It's always a foot thing.
And, I wouldn't I wouldn't.
You got a foot thing too.
I know.
Natalie.
I have a foot thing too. That's what I'm
looking at. Yeah, you would have been in it. Like, what we'll do is we'll have you get cut in a freak accident and then we'll show it on camera. And then you either take the role or you don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I didn't hate it. I just didn't think it was great.
If it's 2 hours, you think it might be great? If he was able to cut some of that fat out, do you think it could have been great?
Not so sure, because I don't know what. It's just an homage movie and not a movie that's going to go anywhere.
I got you. So it doesn't have the potential to be great if it's just an homage. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it when I'm on vacation.
All right. Let's go Bob in Upper Darby. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, you were talking about this Philly team. You know what? It reminds me of the 64 Bills, but at least we have a manager there. My suggestion is for Kapler to take the Ryan Sandberg way and quit. He's dumb. He's got never brain in his head. His pitching is terrible.
What makes you think doesn't have a brain in his head?
He can't. He leaves it like Vasquez. He's got to let him give up 4 or 5 runs before he takes him out. He must do that. Go back over the year. And he put Pivetta in to relieve last night. Pivetta's not happy. And my personal opinion, and I'm 71 years old, I think Pivetta threw a lot of them pitchers in the dirt just to show Kapler who's who. I know it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, the ball players today ain't like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's not. That's foolish.
You put somebody in there with a little gall and somebody who can get that clubhouse to gel.
No, I got that, but let's get back to the Pivetta thing. What makes you possibly think that a player will sabotage himself?
Oh, my man, he's terrible.
No, well, why? You said he was throwing the balls in the dirt on purpose to show up the manager. But why would anybody with a half a brain do that?
Well, I didn't say he had a brain now.
No, you talk about Kapler's brain. You're talking about Pivetta's brain now? He would do something like that?
I don't think he's got one either. He thinks he's... My personal opinion is that the pitchers think they're going to show the manager because he can't get him to go.
Yeah, I got you. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you, Bob. Thank you. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. We appreciate all our calls here. Mike Missinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 345. I'm not sure this is the greatest timing in the world. The Phillies have just announced their 2020 schedule, Tyrone. On the hit, they couldn't let the Sixers get... Phillies had to usurp a little of the glory here. You'll be happy to know on this day that they've announced 2020 season schedule. And it'll kick off Thursday, March 26th against the Marlins in Miami. In case you don't, I know you want to make, you want to block that out on the calendar for that series. Come on, man. Seriously, today? Today you released the schedule?
The same day as the NBA?
With the team reeling like this?
Yeah, I don't like that
at
all.
It's not the best timing to release their schedule.
No, I do like that they're opening. I hate the cold weather early season games. So I think all the games should be in Florida, California, et cetera. There should be no games in Cleveland, Philadelphia, New York to start a season. So I do like that they're in Miami just because I always think it's dumb that it's people are wearing coats because it's Philly's brains.
Well, I'm sure they're not going to stay in Miami forever, so there'll be still some cold weather games here. It's not like they're going to stay in the South.
But sometimes, you know how it is sometimes here, it's cold one day and then all of a sudden. So give it a chance to maybe be 50.
Sure, in March, Miami's nice. They don't have to travel up here. They just go from Clearwater South.
Right there.
And then did you see Mike Trout is coming to town next July?
For the first time in a long time, yeah.
Oh, is that right? They're playing the Angels here. July 17th to 19th.
Oh, yeah. I found this trivia. Mike, you won't get it. But the two starting pitchers. Could you guess the two starting pitchers the last time they played a two-game series against each other for the Phillies?
What was the question?
Who were the Phillies' two starting pitchers the last time they played the Angels at home?
How long ago? When did they last play?
2014.
2014 they played the Angels?
That was the last time.
No, I don't know. I should, but 2014.
Burnett and Cliff Lee.
Is that right?
Somebody wrote it
earlier. AJ Burnett?
Burnett, Cliff Lee were the two starters. There's no way anybody would get it, but that just kind of gives you an idea how long it's been. It'll be 2020.
Cliff Lee was still healthy then? Seemed like he, you know, 10 years ago he was, like, done.
I guess he was still
2014, still viable, Cliff Lee?
Apparently.
All right. Kyle in Wilmington. Kyle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kyle. What's up, Kyle? All right, Kyle, not there. Let's go to Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kev.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Kevin?
I'm not trying to beat a dead horse by talking about the play where Sudfield got hurt on. I want to go back to Friday because I do agree with you and Tyrone that if he's trying to make a play and he gets hurt, I agree with you and Tyrone. But it looks like he's trying to throw the ball out of bounds. And that's what I have a problem with because he can just throw the ball in the dirt and he and the guys are going to pull
up. You're still talking about the Sudfeld injury?
The reason why I'm talking about it is because I want Carson to do the same thing to help keep him on the field.
Well, they're two different players. What? You can't make Sudfeld Carson in that situation.
No, I'm saying the Eagles quarterback. I want them to start throwing the ball in the dirt.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
No, I mean, Mike, I'm just...
Yeah, you've made this point before on the show.
Yeah, I said, well, I was talking about...
What changed?
I agree with you and Tyrone. I do agree with you about if he's trying to make a play, but if he's trying to throw the ball out of bounds, throw the ball in the dirt.
Yeah, but you're missing the point with that. Like, why? First of all, why is it so important to you?
Because
Carson Wentz is a different player than Sudfeld. Sudfeld is trying to impress people.
But you're taking an unnecessary hit.
But you're ignoring my point. You ignored it the first time you called with this. The point is that Sudfeld feels that he needs to impress people by making plays. So in his mind, it's better to try to make a play than to throw the ball on the ground. A lot of people haven't seen him make some plays, so he's trying to show them.
Mike, I guess we're just not going to agree with
you. Well, why would you call back up with the same point?
Because...
My mind's not going to change. Come on, Kevin. It's a mundane topic at this point. Ralph and Hazleton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ralph.
Hey, I'd like to discuss with you the Phillies. 2 points.
Certainly.
One,
go ahead.
One is pitching and the other is their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the pitching. Arrieta can't go because of his injury. He can't go more than like 4 innings.
Right.
Also, Eflin, I think it's Eflin, the stats on him is like the first time through 200, second time through the batting order 200, the third time through 515. So why don't they just start Arrieta? Why don't they just 4 innings? And then finish up the game with Eflin. And he won't go through more than 3 times. And you can have a good game, maybe.
I don't know at this point. Who knows if Eflin is going to have the same effectiveness by not being warmed up as a starting pitcher coming out of the pen. You can't just think he's going to be that same guy.
Well, it's worth a try, I would say. And the other thing is the hitting. You said earlier in the show, you said that they're not a bunting team.
They're not.
Hernandez is a great bunter.
But in general, they're not a hit-and-run bunting team. They're not built that way.
Well, but Roman Quinn and Kingery, all of them can bunt. And I have Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, he's got a very good batting average with runners in scoring position, but a terrible batting average without runners in scoring position. That's because they can put the shift on him without runners in scoring position. So if he would bunt down a third base line once in a while, they eventually not put the shift on him. And then he can hit better.
Yeah,
I've never
said. I agree.
When was the last time you seen a batter?
Yeah, I agree that sometimes, but see, they don't want him to do that because they're saying that that's a victory for the other team because he can't hit a home run by bunting. So they'll take that every day of the week. I'm just telling you what the theory is behind not a power hitter not bunting.
Yeah, but nobody's ever complained about getting a hit. If you see Bryce Harper,
yeah, they have. You don't want Bryce Harper bunting singles. You want him hitting home runs, and every time you give up an at-bat with a bunt, you're giving up a chance to hit a home run. That's the theory. Well, you want to give him as many chances to hit home runs as possible.
Yeah, but that's the problem. If you hit a home run, it's a solo home run. And more than likely, you're going to hit into that shift and make an out anyway.
Yeah, no, nah, so Ralph, I got you, Ralph, but I'm just telling you the way they think. Now, old school baseball guys look at the game differently than new school people. And I'm not saying that they're wrong or that this is wrong. This is the way they play baseball now. They don't like to give up outs. And as far as the shift goes, they think a team that puts the shift on, that forces a power hitter to bunt, actually wins. All right, let's go to Dan in South Jersey. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Hey, Mike, listen, love the show.
Thanks, Dan.
You're right on. First time calling here. But I want to ask you your opinion on this next homestand.
Mm-hmm.
You got a six-game homestand with the Cubs, of course, and the Padres.
Yeah.
If they lose 5 out of 6, which is entirely possible, or even possibly get swept, you think at that time they'd be smart enough and hit the road, even though it's not all his fault. But what's your opinion on that? They lose 5 out of 6, or they get swept.
They're not going to fire the manager this year.
They won't do it.
No.
Okay.
No. Because at that point, they're out of it anyway. What's the difference? You're not going to energize this team to the point. You still have no pitching at the end of the day. The only chance he has to be fired, and I got to be honest with you, I think it's less than 50% that he actually gets fired, would be at the end of the season when you take a cumulative inventory of what they've done. And what they're going to do is finish fourth.
Yeah,
but again, the qualifiers are, they can always say, listen, he's our guy, okay, and mm-hmm. he wasn't playing with a full deck. So that's where he gets off.
Yeah, you can probably make excuses for anything, but I'll tell you, I'm going to the mid-game of the San Diego game next week. I think it's on Saturday night, but mm-hmm. I'll tell you, they lose 4 or 5 or 5 or 6, there'll be plenty of booze going on.
Yeah, but it's not going to get him fired. He's okay. Not getting fired.
All right. We're stuck with him.
All right.
Dan. Thanks a lot. Thanks for taking the call.
Got it. Now, the old Phillies used to do this. They fired their manager and they had a guy observe. The general manager would come down and observe. Well, that's not going to happen. Right? So this regime already thinks they know enough about the team where they don't have to take inventory of anything. So it's not like they would fire Kapler, bring Charlie Manuel, and get Charlie's report about who can play and who can't play. They already think they've got that figured out, who can play and who can't play. So they're not going to have an interim guy there as a spy. So they're going to ride out with Kapler for the rest of the year. And again, I think it's 40%, maybe even less, that he gets fired.
I agree. I actually agree with you, Mike. And I think it would be unfair to fire him. He should be able to try to dig himself out of this. Like, just because we're saying it's over, and it probably mm-hmm. is, that doesn't mean Bryce Harper can't get hot and he can't manage his way out of this. Like, I would give him every opportunity to turn this around. Now, if he doesn't, I evaluate then. But I'm not going to, I wouldn't fire him now.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. 4 o'clock hours ahead. 4 o'clock hours ahead. Tim McManus will join us. We'll talk to him. One of you go call him was that guy who wants to substantiate the point about Sudfeld having to throw the ball away. Amazing. It's still stuck in his crawl, Tyrone.
After a late hit penalty, I don't get it.
After a week. Mike Mussinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.